He's going to put ourselves a little bit back into the frame of mind in terms of the Malach of Gozes. We just started it last week. So the Malach of Gozes is a Malach that, at least the way it was generally practiced in the Mishkan, is probably not something that we're going to bump into all that often in terms of shearing a wool for the sheep. But we'll see as we begin to develop the sugya that some of the basic cholam that are really going to permeate all of Hilchos Shabbos are actually developed in this Malacha. So we started out talking about last week about the shayla of a person is trying to shecht an animal on Yontif, and he runs into a potential issue of gozes, because he wants to remove some of the wool which is getting in the way of the shechita. Is that permissible or not? So that's really a Shabbos lesh Yontif shayla. Obviously, it's not going to come up in Shabbos because you're not going to be shechting on Shabbos, but a person is shechting on Yontif there. Is he permitted to, in effect, be gozes to remove the wool or to make the shechita a little bit easier? So the Gemara related this to a question of gozes sabachor. If a person has an animal that's a firstborn that has kedusha to it, even though it subsequently got a mum, and therefore you're permitted to eat it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but nevertheless you're not allowed to shear its wool. Losagos b'chor tzonecha still applies. And how are you going to go about shechting this b'chor? How are you going to end up removing some of the wool? Is that going to be a problem of gozes? So the Gemara, the Mishnah, offered a possibility that maybe it's okay. Maybe it's not so terrible to be gozes this wool. The question is, why not? So the Gemara introduced a principle called, maybe tolish lafainu gozes, that since you're not actually shearing it with the scissors or something, you're just really plucking out the wool, so maybe that doesn't fall into the category of the Isser of Losagos b'chor tzonechas. The Gemara was working with that possibility. Then the Gemara says, maybe we can't extrapolate from Bechor to Yontif, because then Yontif is different, because Yontif is a separate Isser called Oike Dava Migidulo. So the question is, what does that mean exactly? So that's, I think, pretty much where we left off last week, when the Machlekes of Rishon, what the words mean, what does Oike Dava Migidulo mean? So we started to present Shittas HaTosfos. The Tosfos says that Oike Dava Migidulo means it's a tolda of Gezeis, it's a derivative of Gezeis, something which wouldn't concern us in other areas of Halacha. The Tosfos seems to be going with the idea that toldas only apply in Shabbos, don't apply in other areas of Halacha. So therefore, when it comes to Bechor, as long as it's not the Av HaIsser, so it's not the primary Isser, then you're home free when it comes to Bechor. When it comes to Shabbos and Yontifs, then you have to concern yourselves with Toldos as well. So doing Gozes in a way that's not with the scissors is considered to be a Tolda of Gozes. That's what the Gemara means when it says Okadav Megidulo, and that's going to potentially raise a red flag in the realm of Hilchos Yontif. Well, just because it raised the red flag didn't mean it's also. The Gemara was addressing it. And now the question becomes, was it going to be mutter anyway? So finally, the Gemara concludes, at least the way Tosfos reads the Gemara, that guess what? It's going to be mutter and yontif anyway. The reason why it's going to be mutter and yontif, that even though, yes, it is, it's an okadov migidulo, it's an outright okadov migidulo, i.e. it's a told of gozes, but self, it's being done, kiliachayad, it's not normal. And whenever things are not being done in a normal manner, it cannot be yasim in Torah. And at worst, it's a derabbanan, and apparently they lifted this as a derabbanan, but makom shechita and yontif. They wanted to enhance people's simchas yontif. So the same way they permitted a lot of things on yontif to enhance simcha, they permitted this otherwise is a derabbanan. So when all the dust settles, according to Tosfos, there are really two different shailas that come up. Is the person who's asking the question about pulling out some of the wool for shechitas b'chor, then there's the person who's asking the shaila about pulling out some of the wool for shechita and yontif. There are two different shailas. They both get a heter, but for two radically different reasons. So Tosfos says that the reason why it's mutter to pull the hair out on the bechor, because it's not the av. The av is only with scissors. That's it, finished. The shame gezes, the pe'ul of gezes, only for us to with a kli. If you do it with your hands, not the pe'ul of gezes. So the reason why it's mutter on bechor is simply because it's not the av ha'iser, and there's no such thing called toldos in other areas of halacha. The reason why it's mutter on yontif is for a totally different reason. True, it's not called the Ava Isser, but it's still called the Toldos HaIsser. It should have been also Rats Toldos, and the only reason why it's Mutter is because it's Kaliach HaYad, because it's abnormal. So you see, according to Tosfos, it's not Brisket Torah. You get a Heter in both cases, but for two radically different reasons. One case is Mutter because there are no Toldos Bechlal and Bechor, and in Yontif it's Mutter because even though there are Toldos and this is a Tolda, it's still Mutter because it's Kaliach HaYad. So now we have to ask ourselves, according to Tosfos, in terms of Lamdas, once we have the principle called Kiliach HaYad, once we've already said that even on Yontif it's Mutter, based on Kiliach HaYad, so now let's jump backwards a little bit, back to Bechor. Why on Bechor do we have to say it's Mutter because there are no Toldos? It doesn't really matter. Oh, yes, Toldos, no Toldos. Why do we need two different tracks to be matir? Why don't we just say, it's kliya chayad and finished. Whatever is abnormal is mutter. Bein b'yamtif, bein b'b'chor, bein b'chol tarakula. According to tells us, what the sugya is playing out is that there are two different heterim. The heter of b'chor, that it's a tolda, doesn't help you for yamtif. And the heter of yamtif, that it's kliya chayad, doesn't help you for b'chor. Why is that? What's the lum that's going to tell us? Why does the Gemara need 15 lines to explain there are two different shailas and two different ateirim? Why don't you just say, call it Kaliyachayad and hide line Kaliyachayad? So the Chari you see from Tosus an important yisod, which goes way beyond just the details of the guy shearing his sheep hair. This principle of call Kaliyachayad, that sometimes things are permissible, the Torah for sure, and sometimes even with the Rabbanan, sometimes things are permissible based on the principle of Kaliyachayad, is that something that's limited to Hilcha Shabbos and Yom Tov? Is that a detail in Shabbos and Yom Tov? Or is that something that applies in Kol Torah Kula? What would the din be if a person does an Aveira, not a Shabbos Yom Tov Aveira, different kind of an Isser. He eats treifas, he does that, whatever the name of the Isser is, but he does it in a strange way. He does it Kiliyachayad. What is that law? It's Kiliyachayad, what we call a Ptua Prati. It's a localized exemption, Davka, in Shabbos and Yom Tov, and we cannot extrapolate to other areas of Halacha. Or do I say no? That Kiliyachayad is a din kloli. It applies in Kol HaTorah Kula. So our initial reaction to this sugya would be, maybe that explains the difference. Maybe that's why, when it comes to Yom Tov, so I understand Shabbos and Yom Tov, I understand why Kiliyachayad is playing a role. Maybe the reason why the Gemara doesn't introduce Kiliyachayad in Bechor is because it's not relevant to Bechor. Because Bechor is a Kol HaTorah Kula Shaila. It works with its own rules. It has nothing to Kiliyachayad, doesn't help one way or the other. So that's not 100% accurate, what we just said, that Kiliyachayad is totally irrelevant in Kol HaTorah Kula. That is contradicted by a principle that we've learned in the past. We've discussed it past in Shabbos, we've discussed it in other sugyas. The Gemara says, Beferish and Maseches Pesachim, that if a person eats food, Kiliyachayad, eats tray for food in an abnormal fashion, he eats tray for food, let's say for example, the food is raw, he eats tray for meat that's raw, the Gemara says he's potter. Why? Because it's shaloi kederech achila. So you see clearly that the Gemara applies the principles of normalcy, not just to Shabbos and Yom Tov. The whole Torah was given for normal people, not just Shabbos and Yom Tov. All of Torah was given for normal people. If a guy does something in an abnormal fashion, that's not what the Torah asked. So that puts us back into hot water. So now we see from the dinim of shaloi kederech achila that there is a principle of kiliyachayad. There is a principle of doing things abnormal, being exempt min haTorah. So we're back to square one. So comes the Eglay Tal in his parish. Eglay Tal wrote the Sefer Avnei Nezer, Sochach of a Rebbe. He wrote a whole parish on the Melachos on Shabbos, and he develops. It's interesting. He wasn't exactly a brisket; he was a chassidisha, but he comes with mamash a brisket Torah. This is right out of Reb Chaim's Spanish, right out of brisk. Comes the Eglay Tal and says there are two dinim of kiliyachayad. There are two distinct types of kiliyachayad. Not all kiliyachayads are created equal. Sometimes, says the Eglay Tal, Kiliyachayad changes the very essence of the action itself. It means the very pa'ula sa'isa, the very davar ha'asar, is different. There's a change, the sechal ha'shem is a difference. Sometimes, Kiliyachayad is not a change mitam the etzema pa'ula, it's a change mitam ha'gavra ha'isa. Sometimes, in terms of the result, at the end of the day, you had the exact same result. The only thing is that you did it as a gavra in a different manner. So let's say a lemashal, a guy turns the light on with his elbow. So what kind of a shinui, what kind of a kliyachayad would you call that? Would you call that a kliyachayad mitam the etzem ha peula? It's the same light. It was dark in the room. Now it's light in the room. No, absolutely no difference. So the ma'is aveir, the aveir itself, was done kederech. The only thing is that you as a gavra, rather than doing it with your hands, you decided to do it with the back of your foot. You did it with your elbow. So mitama gavra, you did something which was strange. Does that qualify as a kiliyachayad or not? So says the Eglay Tal, that's where Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula part ways. In Kol HaTorah Kula, when there's a change in the etzem hadavar, it means now there is rather, you take a look at the item, you see, this is not the same. This is just not the same type of an iser that the Torah was addressing. So that qualifies as a shina, as a kiliyachayad in Kol HaTorah Kula. When mitama aveir itself, all the results are the same. You have exactly what you wanted, whether you did it normally or not normally. It's the same light is on. It's just that you chose to do it in a mishunik way. That falls short. That's not considered to be a shinoi in Kol HaTorah Kula. according to this Yisod of the Eglital, now the Tosfos reads like a charm. Everything reads beautifully. What did Tosfos tell us? Tosfos said that, of course there's a din of Kaliyach HaYad in other areas of Halacha. Let's say like Achilas Chaylev. Achilas Chaylev of a raw piece of meat is not the same as a cooked piece of meat. It looks different. It tastes different. It's like a shmak. It's such a meshudah din. It's a strange way of eating raw meat. So comes Tosfos and says, I agree to you. I'll concede that when there's a shin in the etzem hadavar, when the avera is done in the mishunadik away, mitam ha'isar atzma, the shini lies in the avera itself, like in the meat. So that for sure qualifies as a shinoi in Kol HaTorah Kula. But when there is no resulting change. It's just that you chose to do it in somewhat of a strange way. So then we have to assess. We have to say, wait a second. Hilchos Shabbos and Yontif, not bad. That also qualifies as a shinoi. Because Shabbos, got to be doing the Mishkan, got to be Melachos Shabbos. We throw around a lot of terms in Hilchos Shabbos to explain why Hilchos Shabbos is an added component of shinoi. In Kol HaTorah Kula, that second type of shinoi is going to fall short. When you do geizes, when you do geizes in an abnormal fashion, at the end of the day, I got the wool off. Nafkamina, where I shear the wool off, when I pull, yank the wool off, at the end of the day, the wool's off. So the wool was detached. I can make my same coat out of the wool, whether it was taken off with scissors, whether it was pulled off piece by piece of my head. I have the same wool as here. Elawat, you as a gavra did it in a strange way. So good, that's what the Gemara says. Anuchas yontif, that's going to save you. Anuchas bechor, that's not going to save you. Anuchas bechor, we cannot invoke the principle of Kiliyach HaYad, because this is the wrong kind of Kiliyach HaYad. This is the Kiliyach HaYad that's mitama gavra. Kiliyach HaYad mitama gavra doesn't help you outside of Shabbos and yontif. So Kopon, getting back to that story, so we have at least Tosfos Mahalach in the sugya. We know that it's mutter to do tolesh on for a bechor. I'm sorry. The reason why it's mutter to tolesh for bechor because it's not the av. It's a tolda. Only avos arasa in Kol HaTorah Kula not toldas. The reason why it's mutter to do to pull the wool out on yontif is for a totally different reason. Toldas are arasa on yontif. They should have been arasa on yontif, but we're going to hide behind the din of Kiliyach HaYad. So according to Tosfos, we have two areas of halacha, two different tracks, but we saw the interplay between the issues of Toldos and Avos, which is an important distinction between Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula. That's in terms of a chumrah. Yontif has the chumrah that Toldos apply, whereas Kol HaTorah Kula has a chumrah that not all Kiliyach HaYad apply. So Yontif and Bechor are very, very different according to Tosfos. They both end up being mutter, but for very, very different approaches. Comes the Ramban, I'm not sure, I think we may have referred to the Ramban at the end of the Shiur last week, comes the Ramban and says that we're learning the wrong sugya, says the Ramban. We're not learning the sugya of Avos and Toldos. Rather, when the Gemara says, Okedav Megillo, the Gemara meant something totally different. What the Gemara meant was that there's another malacha here that we have to be concerned with. The malacha involved in pulling wool out of the animal is not just geizes. There's more to pulling wool than just geizes. There may be a separate malacha called Eikedav Megillah, uprooting something from its source of growth. Which malacha is that? I'll go through the list. Chayri, Zareya, Bishol, Kosev. Which malacha is that? It's not one of the names of the 39 malachas. Says the Ramban, Eikedav Megillah is a long way of saying malachas Kaitzer. Kaitzer means when you harvest something, when I pull an apple off the tree, that's called kaitzer. When I cut my harvest by wheat, that's called kaitzer. So comes the Ramban and says, when you pull the wool off of the animal, that's also called kaitzer. That's called oikedav megidulo. Kaitzer, oikedav megidulo are synonymous with one another. It's bechlal not geizes. So comes the Ramban and says, now I can begin to understand why the Gemara thought that on for bechor, it's okay, and for yontif, we have a problem. When it comes to Bechor, the only thing I have to ask myself is this gozes or not? The Torah does not say, lo siktsor Bechor shorech. It says, lo sa goz Bechor tzanecha. Is it called the mice of gozes or is it not called the mice of gozes? So the answer is, tolish lavad of gozes. That's not called gozes. Gozes is only with a kli. So on Bechor, it's at the ground. You get a green light in Bechor. But, says the Ramban, you have to reevaluate the question when it comes to yontif. Because on yontif, not only do you have to ask yourself, is this a gozes issue? You have to further ask yourself, is this a kotzer issue? Because on yontif, you have to reckon with the lamatas malachas. So that's exactly why the Gemara splits and says, for bechor, maybe it's okay, and for yontif, maybe it's a problem. Because bechor is just gozes, and this is not gozes. For yontif, there's an additional component, additional malacha called okedam megidula, which is a code phrase for malachas kotzer. So according to the Rabban, so why is it mutter in the end? When the Gemara finally concludes that, by the way, it's mutter and yontif also, based on what is it mutter? So the Rabban says, I'll tell you why it's mutter and yontif. You know why? Because there is no malachas koitzer on animals. Koitzer is limited only to gedulei karka. The Gemara makes it about face within the definition of the malach of koitzer. This is a throwback to what we spoke about about a year and a half ago or so when we first started Hilchos Shabbos. Comes the Rabban and says, the maskana, and all the dust settles is that this is not koitzer altogether, because koitzer was only said on karka, was never said on not gedulei karka. So when all the dust settles according to the Rabban, why is it mutter lemaisa to pluck out your wool to shecht and yontif? So unlike Tosis, who said it's mutter because, well, it's a told of gezeis, but it's kedi achayad, and therefore it's mutter, Rabban says, no, that's not why it's mutter. The reason why it's mutter is because it's koitzer, but guess what? There is no koitzer. Koitzer doesn't apply to non-gedulei karka. So again, when all the dust settles, everybody ends up in the same place. But they end up in the same place for very, very different reasons. A lot of different factors that are being thrown around. Why is it that it's mutter at the end of the day to pluck the wool on yontif? Either because it's kaliyachayad, or because there's no koitzer altogether. But now come to Rishonim and raise the following question. We're going to put the wool and the sheep on hold for a little while. We're going to begin to discuss now a bird, a chicken. First wants to shech the bird on yontif. It's perfectly permissible, nikra din to shecht on yontif. But the same way when you shecht a sheep on yontif, you're going to try to remove the wool beforehand. When you shecht the bird, you're going to try to remove some of the feathers beforehand as well, to make the shechita a little bit easier, both practically and halachically. So, l'chaor, if you'd have asked me, I would have said, what's the big deal? But if you're allowed, if at the end of the day it's mutter to pluck the wool out of the sheep, why in the world should there be any question of plucking the feathers out of the chicken? So comes the Rambam. If you take a look at the fourth of the Marmakamos. So the Rambam Menuchas Yomtif per Gimel Lacha Gimel tells us a shochet the heima be Yomtif mutlo litlosh tzemel amokam asachin biyado. One is permitted to pull out with your hands a little bit of the wool to make a space to be able to cut properly. But b'vach leizis enemim kamo, you shouldn't actually remove it and take it out and throw it away. Lishasha mesubach b'shar tzemer atzavar. You should just leave it there. You pull it out with your hands and leave it with the rest of the wool surrounding that's out of the way. But it shouldn't look so bad that you're actually pulling it out. But mikra din it's mutter. But says the Rambam ba'of lo yimrot. However, when it comes to a bird, you are not permitted to be moored as oath. It means to pluck out the feathers. Why is a bird worse than a sheep? Because that's normal. And it turns out that the person is being toilish on yontif, that the person is violating an isser of removing something that's growing on yontif. My high, how did the Rambam know that this is worse? The Rambam got it from the Gemara, because the Gemara said beferish. If we go back to the sugya itself, back to the first of the Marmakamos. So we take the Gemara was talking about two lines from the bottom, the first of the Marmakamos, in the middle of the Tolish Lava and Gozes. You're going to tell me that plucking with your hands is not a problem of Gozes, but Tanya. Hatolish is a knaf. If a person plucks a feather off of a bird, so then he does several other actions we're not going to talk about right now, he's chayav. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between the bird and the sheep? So we skip down to the last line. Shari knaf tainu orchei. No, a bird, that's normal. That's the way you always pluck feathers off a bird. When it comes to sheep, the way to remove the wool is using a scissors. So if you go ahead and use your hands, that's funny. But when it comes to birds, everybody does it. On a regular Tuesday, you pluck the feathers out with your hands. So if you do it on Shabbos, that's considered to be kederech. So the Rambam just took it right out of the Gemara. The Rambam says that if the Gemara just told us that tzemer from a sheep is okay, but plucking feathers is kederech, is normal, what could there possibly be a way to be matur malocha kedarka on yomtiv? It's mamshir sederaisa to pluck feathers. You want to make the shechita easier? Tough luck. You're still not permitted to do that. So the question is there any reason to disagree with the Rambam? The Rambam is just quoting the Gemara. Is there any reason to believe that plucking feathers on yontif could still be mutter, even though plucking feathers is presumably a malacha deraisa of geizes? Is there any reason to defend that practice? If we take a look at the fifth of the Marmakamos, so in the Magid Mishnah, on that Rambam, the first one line is Zal. It's five lines down. Aval Ramban Zal. So even though the Rambam said that it's normal to pluck feathers, and therefore to pluck feathers and yontif is out of the question, about Ramban zal cholak bezeh, the Ramban disagrees with Amar, shekeven shesofa letosho acha shechita biyontif, afkeidim shechita mutter. Comes the Ramban and says, when it comes to plucking the feathers, you're going to pluck them on yontif at some point. Why are you obviously going to pluck them on yontif? Because you can't eat the chicken without plucking the feathers. When it comes, apparently, to eating the meat, so then when it comes to, you don't have to pull off the wool ever, you're just going to skin the whole animal, you're going to take the whole thing off and finish. You're never going to actually pluck off the wool, you're never going to actually remove the wool on yontif. So on yontif, we have to discuss, is it geizis, is it not geizis, mutter osar. On chicken, says the Ramban, Lamaisa, there's no way to eat the chicken without removing them. Go try to eat the chicken. Go try to cook up the chicken with the feathers still on. So comes the Ramban and says, since anyway you're going to have to remove the feathers, and it's going to be muta to remove the feathers, I'll take on that fish, because otherwise you can't eat the chicken altogether. So why don't you do it before Shechita? What are you losing by doing it before Shechita? So therefore the Ramban says, the Rambam's right. It's an outright issa, it's a malacha gemur deraisa to remove the feathers, and it's still mutter, says the Ramban. It's mutter al tzeichel nefesh. So the question becomes, didn't the Rambam realize that? When the Rambam was shechting chickens, they were eating feathers. So obviously the Rambam realized that. So how can the Rambam turn around and say that you're not allowed to pluck the feathers? The Ramban has a very, very strong tie against the Rambam. If it's mutter anyway, in 20 minutes from now, after you shechted, it's going to be mutter. So why should it possibly be the asa beforehand? So if you take a look at the Rush, the sixth of the Marmakamos, so the Rush gives you the answer. Says the Rush, in Bechorot Per Gimel Siman Hei, Uma shekosav shemutal ligzol zetzorcha chol nefesh b'chayim k'mal yachas shechita. That which the Ramban said, the Rosh Hashanah the Ramban, that which the Ramban said, that it's mutter to pluck the feathers before shechita, the same way it's mutter after shechita, because of yachol nefesh, lo nehi really, says the Rosh. It doesn't appear to be correct. Why? Devadai liyachas shechita, came in the kvar ha-chutra lechol, if the shechita, where the bird is already edible, I mean halachically edible, and it's impossible to eat it practically without plucking off the feathers, then you're permitted to pluck the feathers. You're permitted to roast it, you're permitted to cook it, you're permitted to do any malacha necessary to get this chicken on your plate. So says the Rosh, you're permitted to pluck the feathers as well. Before shechita, comes the Rosh and introduces a whole new category. Whatever is done before Shechita, koma de avid, any malacha that you're doing before Shechita, you can't call that oichal nefesh. How can you call that oichal nefesh? The food's not edible yet. It's not oichal nefesh. What is it? A new category, machshirei oichal nefesh, de evshalameh v'me'es mu'l'v'yasur. Boom. The Rosh tells us that you have to be very careful in yontif before you label something as oichal nefesh. Oichal nefesh means when I take a piece of meat and I cook it, that's called oichal nefesh. I take dough and I bake it, that's called oichal nefesh. When I do something to an animal, mechayim, I'm doing something with the animal still alive, it's not yet even on the radar screen of eating yet, I'm doing something that's going to enable me to eat it down the line, that's not called oichal nefesh, that's called machshirei oichal nefesh. Machshirei oichal nefesh means, let's say my refrigerator broke on yontif, so I'm permitted to fix the refrigerator. Let's say my knife, my shechita knife broke, so I'm permitted to fix the knife. That's not called oichal nefesh proper. I'm not going to eat the knife, I'm going to eat the refrigerator, that's called machshirei oichal nefesh. Are you permitted to do that or not? That's a machlekes hatanoim. So the Chachamim's view is, machshirei oichal nefesh are also min ha-Torah. The Torah was matir oichal nefesh, it wasn't matir preparatory stages of eating, and Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. If it was Efshar Mibiyod Yom, you could have done it before Yontif, then Min HaTorah you're not permitted to do it on Yontif. So let's say if your knife broke on Erev Yontif, you should have fixed it before Yontif, and if you didn't get around to fixing it, tough luck, you cannot fix it on Yontif Min HaTorah. Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold that if the knife broke on Yontif, and it was impossible to fix from beforehand, then you're even allowed to fix it, technically speaking, even on Yontif itself. That's called Machshiri Yechol Nefesh, She'i Efshar Mibiyod Yom. We happen to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but the Gemara says don't tell anybody about it. Because if you tell people Rabbi Yehuda, they're going to end up doing machshirin that could have been done from beforehand anyway. But min ha-Torah, mikra did, we paskin that machshirin yachol nefesh, if it was ef shem bibi al yom ha-mutter. But if it was...
Shechita is considered ochel nefesh, not machshirin.
Oh, very good, excellent. So the shechita itself is considered to be ochel nefesh, because I'm transforming the animal, in a sense, into being mamish ochel. But what I'm doing beforehand, if I just merely remove the wool from the animal. I plucked the feathers from the chicken, so kolzman, the chicken is already shechted, that's echel nefesh, that's like cooking. But if the chicken is not yet shechted, that's too far removed from the shem echel nefesh. It's not on the radar screen yet of being called echel nefesh. The best we can call it is machshir echel nefesh. The problem is that it's a machshir echel nefesh, ef shel asos b'yod yom, you should have plucked the feathers from erev yom tif. So therefore the Rush says in one fell swoop, that's the reason for the Rambam Pshita. The Rambam also knew there's a din of echel nefesh, but the Rambam had a new hagador, a new category, what's called echel nefesh and what is not. It's only called echel nefesh when it's already ready, in a sense, to be put onto the plate. It's ready to be put into the oven. When you're dealing, you have the food proper in front of you. When you have something that's beforehand, it's still alive, the best we can call that is machshir echel nefesh, and machshir echel nefesh is only mutter if it could not have been done beforehand. How did the Rush know such a principle? Who told the Rush that when the animal's still alive, it's not echel nefesh? So the Rush brings you a raya. The Rush says it's the halakha equivalent of bringing an animal from outside the tchum for the purposes of shechting it. Would anybody say that's mutter? Why not? What's the problem? He says, if I want to go out of the tchum to go bring the animal in order to get it here to be able to eat, what's the issue? Echel nefesh. But we know for a fact that that's asur. How do we know it's asur? The Gemara says beferish that if a goy brings an animal from chutz etchum on yontif, even the Jew's not allowed to shecht it. Why not? The Jew's allowed to go himself and get it. So the answer is he's not. That somehow we see from Chazal that going chutz etchum to get the live animals was never covered by the heter of echel nefesh. So the Rush is analyzing this thing. Why is this true? Why is this such a detail in Hilchos Yomtiv that you're not allowed to go chutz etchum to get an animal to shecht? Why is that less than cooking an animal? So says Rush, I'll tell you exactly what's less than cooking an animal. Because the animal is still alive. So any issa that's done, any malach, any issa that's done, mechayah behema, where the animal remains still alive, the best we can call that is machshir echel nefesh. It's efshe mebiyod yom, it's also mederaisa. So the Rush extrapolates from the case of if it's also to go chutz l'tchum to get an animal to shecht, so you see my yisod is correct, says the Rush, so too it's also to pluck the wool mebiyod yom as well. That was the equation of the Rush. Obviously, the Rush is only as true as his raya is true. So the question is his raya accurate enough? So the din that the Rush said is accurate. That's beferish. Can't argue with that. Beferish and Gemara. Is the lumdus, is the view of the Rush correct? So we have to see. Not so simple. So hopefully, the next year we'll have to figure out, was the Rush's raya from Tchumen an accurate raya, or is something else playing out in Tchumen, something behind the scenes we're not quite sure about. But I'll call upon him. The mahalach of the Rush is, unlike the Shittas Ramban, who said, it's echel nefesh, everything's mutter, don't worry about it. It's malachas, big deal, everything's echel nefesh. So the Rambam and the Rush are putting the brakes on it and saying, no, not everything that appears to be echel nefesh is echel nefesh. It could be that this falls short of echel nefesh. If this is the reason why it falls short, hopefully we'll have to see in the next year to evaluate whether the Rush's reason is the reason, or maybe perhaps there's another reason to explain what's going on. Okay, love you.